Five, four, three, two, one. Let's go.
Diary of a Kidney Warrior podcast in partnership with Kidney Care UK.
Sharing faith, knowledge, hope, and love.
Hi, and welcome to Diary of a Kidney Warrior podcast. My name is Dee Moore, and I am a kidney warrior. This podcast is dedicated to encourage, educate, and inspire as we explore all aspects of kidney disease, related chronic illnesses, and health. If you have any questions or ideas for topics you would like me to cover, please get in contact with me on social media using the handle Diary of a Kidney Warrior. In today's episode, I am bringing you a kidney warrior story. Now, there's always something you can learn from someone's story, something that can bring inspiration and hope. My guest today from Northern Ireland is peritoneal dialysis warrior, Emma Kearns. Emma is a young adult who strives to raise awareness of kidney disease and advocates for other young people living with CKD. Emma shares about being diagnosed with kidney disease at a young age, her experiences as a peritoneal dialysis patient, and the lessons she has learned along her kidney warrior journey. Hi, and welcome to Diary of a Kidney Warrior podcast. How are you doing today, Emma?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to our interview today. Everyone knows what I'm about to say because I say it every time, but I sincerely do mean it. I love recording kidney warrior stories because I believe there's so much that you can learn from someone's lived experience with CKD. So it really is my pleasure to be interviewing you today. As a young person living with CKD, I like to get a younger person's perspective on CKD. Although I see myself as young at heart, I know I'm not young, but I always love speaking with young people and getting a young person's perspective. So yeah, without further ado, I'm going to ask my first question. And my first question is, how did your kidney warrior journey begin and how were you diagnosed?
When I was 15, I contracted sepsis and I was very unwell and I was in the intensive care unit for a while and I was in hospital for even longer. And to help me, I was put on a medication called gentamicin, which is not great for kidneys. And although I had been always had kidney problems, possibly when I was younger, I had a lot of kidney infections. The gentamicin really did a lot of damage to my kidneys. So whenever I was sick with sepsis, my kidneys took a real hit from the gentamicin. And that's sort of what started the ball rolling with my kidney failure. My kidneys were quite badly damaged from gentamicin, but I honestly didn't think anything of it, really. I was honestly too sick to, you know, worry about that. It was what they had to do to help me get better because I was very, very unwell with sepsis. And it was a very, very scary time for me in my life. So I then was sick around 2022. I hadn't had too many problems since I had recovered from sepsis. Then 2022/2023, I had been really, really unwell. I had headaches, I had nausea, fatigue. I had to take so much time off work and my job was not happy with that at all. And I got back from a trip to Geneva and I feel like my trip to Geneva had almost been ruined slightly and I felt awful for my boyfriend because I was so unwell on the first day and he said, you need to go to a doctor whenever we get back because you've been sick for so long. And it was really, really affecting my everyday life. I was like literally napping on my work breaks that I was that sick. I remember on one of my shifts in the office, I literally went to the toilet and lay down on the floor. I was just that exhausted and I was that unwell and I just didn't know what to do with myself at all. So I knew I needed to go to the doctor. I knew there was something not right. I could not dismiss it any longer. I was trying to sort of invalidate my own health because I was so scared about work and, you know, I just couldn't afford to take time off. I had rent to pay. I had bills. I just could not afford to, you know, be sick, really. I did eventually pluck up the courage and go. And when I got my blood results back, I was at 15% kidney function. And that shocked me. Like, I could not believe it. I rang my mom in tears. And she says, you need to come home. Because I needed to be with my family during this time. I just remember crying into my boyfriend's arms at the time. Just like, we were just devastated. He was devastated for me.
I can only imagine what a shock it must have been, especially at such a young age to get such shock news. But rewinding slightly, you said that the medication that they gave you to treat the sepsis caused the damage to your kidneys. So it's the worst kind of catch-22 situation, really, where the sepsis is life-threatening, but the treatment for that life-threatening illness then caused another life-threatening illness. Did the doctors explain that that was a risk factor, or did that come out of nowhere as well?
I honestly don't remember much. I was very, very out of it with sepsis. I was hallucinating a lot of the time. I was just so out of it with being so poorly that I really don't remember a lot of it. And I have a lot of medical trauma from that time as well. It was a very, very scary time, especially as a 15-year-old girl. That still sort of scares me. I have fears of necklines because they had to put one, an emergency neckline into me at the time to, you know, get the medication pumping into me. But I'm not aware that they told me personally about gentamicin, but I do know that they told my mum. And it really was one of those do or die situations. I needed the gentamicin. And although I have renal dysplasia where only one of my kidneys ever worked, it needed to be done to keep me alive.
It really is a very difficult decision all around. But without that decision, you might not have been here. So having had the treatment for sepsis, how was your teenage years following that?
Honestly, my teenage years were relatively normal. It took me a little bit longer to catch up, but I got there. I still managed to sit my GCSEs the same year as everyone else. Although I did miss quite a bit of school, I still managed to get really good grades and I really strived for that. I really, really wanted to push myself and bounce back. For about maybe a year or so, I was still just trying to build myself back up as my body had taken a real hit. But honestly, by the time I was 17, I wouldn't have known I had sepsis. I was just honestly back to my normal self.
So you enjoyed normal in speech marks teenage years until, unfortunately, your health started to decline 2022 to 2023. You mentioned that you was in the disgusting situation of feeling that you had to continue working and not get yourself checked out medically because of being scared of what was going to happen with your job. And no one should be in that situation. And this really is why we need to do so much work in terms of raising awareness of kidney disease. It is an invisible illness. As I said, people don't realize that you have it. And people can be very insensitive in terms of the way that they treat people. But we really need to continue raising awareness of this issue to make sure that no one else is subjected to this terrible, terrible treatment. You got your diagnosis. So what happened next?
Well, I had left my previous workplace. At the time, I didn't know then I was sick. But I was working in a very ableist environment. I needed to work from home a lot of days because I did not feel well enough to be able to go into the office. And that was sort of a big no-no from the company themselves. Even when I had explained, I was really not well, but I was maybe well enough to work from home. But even on the days I was working from home, I would still fall asleep on my lunch break. And honestly, in between calls I was taking, I would just lie there. Just like wanted this entire shift to be over. I just wanted to go to bed. I felt so sick. I remember I was working one shift with a literal bin beside me to be sick into while I was working because I wasn't well enough to go into the office, but they still said I had to work and I really had no more sick leave. So there got to a point where I could not physically work there anymore. I had gotten a disciplinary because I was off too much. And I just said it was the final straw for me. I told them I could not work for such a company. It was when I had provided medical evidence as well of my chronic kidney disease, and they still gave me disciplinary. I couldn't work for them anymore. It was too ableist for me, and I refused to continue working in an ableist environment. So I still needed somehow to pay the bills even after I left that job, so I immediately was able to find a new job that seemed more promising, although I couldn't work from home as many days, but I thought I would just try it. I need a living, you know, everyone needs a living. And I just still didn't want to go to the doctors because I was too scared. And I thought maybe that I was just overreacting, and I didn't think my chronic kidney disease was as serious as it was. But I went into this new job with really high hopes, but it was a longer commute. And it meant waking up earlier. So I was waking up even earlier, like 6 a.m. to try and be there for about 7:30 or 8, and not getting home till nearly 7 p.m. And it was rough. At the time, I was obviously suffering from end-stage kidney failure, but I didn't know it, but I was suffering. Like, the commute there was horrific. Being there was honestly just so horrific. I had to go to the bathroom and lie down, and I lay on the floor of the disabled toilet just crying one day because I was so unwell. And it was like my second day there. I wanted to go home, but I knew I couldn't do this to them. Once I just started the job, I thought I would be proven that I was an unworthy employee. And I didn't want to let anyone down. I didn't want to let myself down. I really needed this job. So I pushed through. I got home and I just cried. I just thought, is this how my life is going to be forever? Like, continuous work and sickness and trying to find a balance between the both of them. It was insane. So I had started working there in January of 2023. And it was in March, the start of March, literally just a year gone, that I went to the doctors and got my diagnosis. And I was so relieved, honestly, to get that diagnosis, as devastating it was. It made me feel like I wasn't going crazy, that I wasn't, you know, completely invalidating myself anymore. I knew there's something wrong with me, and I'm so glad I went when I did, because this is fatal. And I did not realise that I could have been slowly killing myself. Kidney disease is obviously a killer, a silent killer. And I was letting that happen to myself without even knowing, because I didn't know any of the symptoms and I was not aware of how fast or how badly kidney failure can progress.
It absolutely breaks my heart to hear that you went through all of that and suffered through so much and was put under so much pressure to continue working when you were clearly so ill. And it's sad to hear that no one around you at that time had any compassion to what you were going through, to say, even if they don't have an understanding of kidney disease specifically, to see what you were going through, to say, I think you should go to the doctor, is just absolutely heartbreaking. My heart really goes out to you to go through all of that and not get any support. But like you said, finally to get that diagnosis, it's interesting, isn't it? Within yourself, you know something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. But by finding out what it is, it does give you a sense of relief, in a sense. Even though the diagnosis itself can be very devastating, you've got a diagnosis finally.
It was honestly a relief to get a diagnosis, because I just genuinely thought this was how it was for me. I thought this was my normal. And it is, honestly, looking back, I just can't believe that I was so sick and didn't see the signs, that I just thought there was, you know, I just thought these migraines were a common occurrence for me, and all the other symptoms I was having, I just genuinely thought, you know, these will pass. But after I got to about a year, I realised these were not going to pass. So when I finally did go to the doctor, I was really lucky to get a call on the same day to tell me that I was in kidney failure.
So how was life after finding out you were in kidney failure?
Considering I lived in Liverpool at the time, which is, I stayed and worked there after university, I had my entire life over there. But I was told that I needed to come home to have a transplant. I knew it was the best place to be. At the time, I didn't think so. I was adamant to stay in Liverpool. But I'm so glad I came home and had the support of my entire family. I have my friends in Liverpool, my boyfriend's family, who I consider, you know, family of my own. It was really, really difficult to leave them. And Liverpool was all I have known for like the past 5 years. So It was difficult to leave, but I made the decision to come home back to Northern Ireland, and I am so at peace with that decision. I have an amazing renal team, and I am very well looked after here, and I absolutely love it, being surrounded by my family. And my boyfriend and I are able to make the long distance work, and it gives us more time to appreciate seeing each other, and we've had no issues with it. I thought it would be more difficult than it is, and it's not. It's honestly, it just makes me appreciate everything so much more. And I realise I am very, very lucky to be home with my family. A lot of people don't have the support of their family and have to do this by themselves, but I have my mum, I have my dad and my brothers, you know, who all help me daily. If I have anything I need doing, even setting up dialysis, my mum will do that, no problem. So although it's been a crazy year since being diagnosed, I am very thankful, and I feel like a new person mentally and physically.
So you mentioned that, and part of this interview is a focus on dialysis. So you started peritoneal dialysis. So tell me how that came about.
So I came home to my family last March, just shortly after being diagnosed with kidney failure, and was making the change from the Liverpool Hospital to the Belfast City Hospital. And I was sort of cruising along. My kidney function wasn't really dropping any, so I was sort of just cruising along. But as the months went by, it started to sort of creep down slowly. And I was feeling worse and worse. I was sleeping more. I had more vomiting, and I was just genuinely feeling the effects of kidney failure. So it got to about September, and I was just feeling so run down. And I was just feeling so miserable within myself. And at the next appointment, when I was seen by my nephrologist, they thought it would be best that I should start dialysis when my function was 11%. And then I started dialysis in the start of November of 2023 and had my PD surgery at the start of October.
Why did you choose peritoneal dialysis?
I have found a lot of comfort and influence from other young people on TikTok. There is a certain creator, her name is Meg Davies, and she was on peritoneal dialysis. Watching her videos helped me immensely. I hadn't a clue about which dialysis to pick and what, you know, benefits which one had, what were the effects. And watching Meg's video honestly helped so much. So I decided to go for peritoneal because I had seen how she was able to live her day-to-day life with peritoneal dialysis and how she set it up and how she felt with it. So I thought that would probably be the best benefit for me as a young person. My renal team also advised that as a young person, I would have more freedom on peritoneal dialysis. Whereas if I had HD, I would obviously be going up to the hospital more, which I didn't really want. I just didn't feel comfortable with that, you know, so many times a week, especially if I wasn't feeling well, maybe on a certain day. Whereas in bed, I can just lie all day if I don't feel well. So it was a lot of influence through TikTok, which I chose PD for. So I have credit Meg for that, honestly. She was one of my bigger influences.
It's amazing how social media can really have a bad rep about being negative in terms of influence on people. But yet, in your case, it's had such a positive impact on your life to guide the decision that you made in terms of choosing peritoneal dialysis. And for anyone who hasn't yet listened to it, Episode 104 is an introduction to peritoneal dialysis, and this interview was with Dr. Lavanya Kamesh, and we talk about peritoneal dialysis. If you don't know anything about peritoneal dialysis, please do check it out. But for those in the know of peritoneal dialysis, in order to do this type of dialysis, you have to have a catheter inserted into your stomach. How was that surgery for you?
It was an experience. I was awake for that surgery. And yeah, I was awake for the whole thing. I remembered everything. although I was drugged up, like both my renal nurses came in with me. I am so, so thankful for Sandra and Jillian because they were there for me the whole time while my doctor was performing the surgery. So I was dosed up and I could feel it happening. I could physically feel the surgery. And I just like felt the tears rolling off my face. And at one point, I obviously wasn't given enough medication because I could just feel like a slice
Oh my.
At the start, and I just like gave a little yelp, and they just sort of, you know, like quickly increased my medication. And I was then in and out of it. I had a little sleep, but I felt awful for the student nurse watching. He fainted. He needed a chair. I just remember that. It's the only thing I can visually remember is just him fainting. But yeah, I was awake for it. And I remember right before surgery, I was shaking. I was actually sick with nerves. They'd also given me some pills that made me really sleepy. So I was just terrified. I just wanted to lie down and sleep. I felt sick at the thought of this surgery, as I've never really had a surgery before. And I was terrified. I knew what to expect, but I didn't want to watch it. They did give me the option to, but of course I just declined. That was not something I needed to be seeing. But I am very, very lucky that, you know, Sandra and Gillian were there to help me while it was all happening and hold my hand and just sort of look after me, because I'd felt alone. I was so scared. The minute my mum walked out the room, I just started to cry a little bit. I was just trying to calm myself down, but it was also a very scary experience for someone who had only just got it booked about 2 weeks prior. So
wow.
Yeah, it was experience feeling it. Obviously I was numb, but I could also feel it at the same time. It is a very unusual experience.
I've literally never heard of anybody having the catheter inserted while they're awake. So what was the reason why they went for the local anesthetic rather than general?
They didn't really offer me option for general. Apparently everyone, I suppose, here gets it done through the local, and you just kind of have to deal with that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a bit traumatized, I can't lie. It was a very scary experience, but I was, you know, I was out of it. I was definitely out of it for a few hours, and I sort of fell asleep during the surgery, so I guess it counts as being out. But I was just like loopy. I just remember being there and being awake, watching this and feeling this, and it is not something I want to experience again ever.
No, I totally understand why you would feel that way. Wow. So after having the surgery, you would have your first flush to check that everything was okay. Obviously that went well, so you started peritoneal dialysis. How was your first experience of peritoneal dialysis?
It was a very unusual experience. Having a catheter is so weird enough. Although now I literally, don't even notice my catheter at all. Like, I would just be absentmindedly swinging it sometimes. I'm just lying in bed. I'd just be like, oh yeah, I have this. But at the start, I was so aware of it, and I was scared to move or shower or do anything. But now, me and dialysis, we get along. At the start, I wasn't a fan. It was just a very unusual sensation of, like, the drain and the fill, and being on dialysis at 25 is not something I ever expected in my life. I didn't even know what dialysis was by like a few months prior. So to then be on dialysis by that stage, I was like, oh wow, this is serious, serious. And I still sometimes can't believe I'm actually on dialysis, although now I can just hook myself up and I'm good to go and set it up in no time. So I've definitely adjusted.
It really is a process. I remember that the first time I set up the machine by myself and all the instructions were on A4 laminated pieces of paper, and they were all over the bed, and I'm following each and every step. Okay, step two, step three. Okay, every single step I'm checking. And I think the whole process took me 45 minutes to set up the machine or so.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But then over time I got quicker, and I was setting up the machine within 10 minutes. It really is amazing how quickly you adjust and get used to that process. So how is the actual process of dialysis for you, though, that you've been doing dialysis for a few months now? How are you finding the filled well drain process?
I think the initial drain is just the hardest part for me. It's not as bad as it was, but I still feel a little bit of drain pain. And unless you are someone on peritoneal dialysis, you will not have a clue I'm talking about, and you probably never will experience that. It is so weird. And I wish I could describe it, but I'm just going to call it like a niggling. Like, that is all I can think of how to describe it. It is very uncomfortable, and it's like a sharp jolt. It's so weird, but if you're not on dialysis, you're lucky you don't experience it.
Yes, drain pain is definitely no joke. I wouldn't describe mine like yours when I had it until they adjusted it and sorted it out. It was like my whole body was being attacked and the life being sucked out of it. That's what it felt like to me. But yeah, drain pain definitely can be a very challenging part of the process. Has the drain pain improved over time? Has it got better?
It actually has. In the past few weeks, I have noticed less pain from the initial drain, but it's always the final drain that hurts me the most. I'm like sitting up, like rocking, and like, oh, this is so painful. I just want it to be over. I just feel it like jolt through my whole body, especially on the last one. And I don't know if I'll ever get used to it. I accept it, but I just don't know if I'll ever fully get used to it. Although I'm just glad the initial drain has got better, because I used to like cry at the thought of doing dialysis because of the drain pain. But I have found ways to manage it, especially with like the laxatives, and obviously now I'll try more natural remedies. But it has definitely improved, and it gives me more peace of mind now to be able to go on at night rather than crying.
So in terms of the challenges that you've faced and the pain that you've experienced whilst doing dialysis, why did you persevere with PD given the challenges that you were facing?
I am stubborn. I really wanted to prove to myself that I could do this, and I was not going to back down. And I really didn't want to have to either get a neckline or a fistula, because I have trauma from getting a neckline before when I was 15. And I just personally do not want a fistula, just for my own personal reasons. I wouldn't feel comfortable with one. So I just felt like chemo was not the option for me. And it's also only the late shifts available, the twilight shifts, and that wouldn't work for me. Or, you know, driving there or getting someone to pick me up or drop me off, that just wasn't doable. So I was just persistent with PD. I just was like, I'm just going to see this pain through. And I have, and I'm so proud and glad that I did, because I feel like I'm really coming to terms with it now. And I feel like people like to see my dialysis setup content as well, where I do videos of showing how I set dialysis up and explaining it. So, it gives me something to do and film as well to educate.
There's an expression that I was taught, and that's each one teach one. So it's good that you're turning your experiences into something that can help others, which is something that I really am strongly for. So credit to you for that. In terms of your peritoneal dialysis, how has that benefited you? Do you feel better through doing the dialysis?
Personally, I don't feel any better for being on dialysis. And I think that is the case sometimes. And I have been told that I'm not the only one. And dialysis isn't going to make everyone feel better. But as long as it clears the toxins, I can keep going. But I just wake up every day and feel so fatigued. And I feel like I'm just going to feel like that until I get my transplant. And it's really no life. Every day I just wake up and I want to do something. I want to be able to live. And then I'm just like, oh, well, I need to go back to bed then. So it is very difficult some days, and some days more than others. I'm just like, well, why does this not work for me? Should I have changed to HD? But then I think, well, would HD make me feel any better either? You really can't win. Sometimes I think it's just two and a half a dozen. So I just wanted to persevere with peritoneal dialysis, even if it wasn't making me feel the full benefits. It was doing what it needed to do to keep me alive.
It really is a sad reality that as a young person, being on dialysis and not getting the benefit of feeling better from the actual treatment, I can't imagine how difficult that is, dealing with that on a daily basis. The only comfort that anyone could see from this is ultimately dialysis is life-preserving and life-saving. And I admire the fact that despite all that you've been going through, not getting that improvement in terms of feeling the benefit of PD, you're still taking the time to educate others and raise awareness of kidney disease. And I really admire the fact that you're doing that despite what you're going through. That really is a credit to you.
I just feel like there's so many people I've met now through social media who needed that help or needed that support. And it has been amazing, because now I've met the best group of girls around my age who are all going through this. and some who are just starting PD and asking for advice. And I'm glad I'm able to help with that and help them feel more at ease, because I've been through it and they're looking for advice for that. So I can say, like, listen, if you need anything, if you need any help, you know, if any queries or anything, I will be able to understand you, because I'm going through it too. So I've had so many nice messages from people just saying that my videos have just helped them. And that's my aim. That's all I want to do. If I can help one person, then I've done my part, you know.
For the young person who's listening now, who's been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, what advice do you have for them?
Any advice I'd have for a young person is just completely go through your experience. Just absolutely feel it. Because you will come out at the end of this feeling so proud of yourself, and you will just feel, you know, so great that you actually managed to get through this, even on your worst days. Just never give up, because you've got this. And I know how hard it is, especially at this age where you should be living your life. And some days you just want to give up. Believe me, I've been there. And some days, you know, I still am. But just push through it, because we will get transplanted. Dialysis, kidney failure, is not the be-all and end-all. I know it seems like it, but if all of us here, like all the young people I have known, I've talked to, we're all here to support each other. And any young person that ever needs any help, I'm always happy to help them with any questions. Just even if they need to vent to me, I'm always here to listen, because I needed that support. And at the time, I didn't really have it, because I didn't know many young people with CKD. So I want to be there to help other people through this experience.
And what advice do you have for a young person who is approaching the need for dialysis and is looking at their options in terms of dialysis?
Go for what you feel most comfortable with. Honestly, it's the best decision that I made. I did not feel comfortable at all with doing HD, and I'm so glad that I went with peritoneal dialysis. So if you feel maybe the other way about it, if you feel more comfortable with HD, just go for it. Go what suits you. Be your own voice. Don't let anyone else tell you what you should be doing. Don't let anyone else tell you what dialysis you should be doing. It's up to you, your own choice.
You mentioned earlier in terms of ableist environments and its impact on you as a worker, as a young person. So I just wanted to talk a bit more about that. What else do you want to share about that?
I just feel like kidney disease is not commonly recognised enough as a serious life-threatening illness. I get people every day on TikTok telling me, you know, I'm doing this either for attention or it's not that serious. But this dialysis machine keeps me alive. So I'm just like, what do you mean it's not this serious? It absolutely is. My life depends on a machine. And that is an extremely serious situation. If I was taken off my dialysis machine today, in the next 10 days, I would be dead. That is how serious and life-threatening kidney failure can be. And there is so many ableist people out there who just see, you know, people like me who look well, we present well. If we go out in our days when we're feeling a bit better than usual, we will look fine. We won't, you know, we won't be standing there complaining about our illness, of course. But they'll think, oh, she looks fine or he looks fine. Of course, you're not going to die. And that is what so many people have said to me in comments. And I don't let them get to me at all, because I know they're uneducated and it's just ignorance. But there is people out there who that can really affect. So ableism really can affect people, especially because kidney disease is not just physical, it is also mental. I have suffered myself mentally with this disease from obviously having to move away from, you know, Liverpool and just feeling isolated and everything that comes with kidney failure. You're expected to, you know, not feel your best mentally. So then having ableist comments and being in ableist environments just make us feel worse. Like, I already doubt myself sometimes. You know, I have days where I'm like, well, maybe I'm not as bad as it seems. But then I'm just like, no, don't ever think like that, because that machine is my lifeline, and it is for a lot of other people. And I stand up for myself, but a lot of other people can't or won't. So we need to change the stance on kidney failure, because it needs to be seen as how serious it actually is. And it is not seen enough, especially in young people. The amount of stories I've heard from my friends who, you know, are just so young, same age as me, and have faced so many ableist comments or scenarios, it is disgusting.
So true. I mean, as you said, kidney disease is known as the silent killer. It's a silent disease. People can present to be so healthy, but yet have barely any kidney function at all. The number one comment that I get from people is, you don't look sick. Like, if I had a pound for every time somebody said that to me, I'd be a millionaire right now. What's going on the outside makes no difference to what's going on internally inside the body. And that is what people don't understand. If you say to people, cancer, they know how serious cancer is. But when you say kidney disease, they know it's an illness and they know they wouldn't want it, but they don't realize how serious it is. And I 100% agree with you. They really need to put in the public health system more information about kidney disease. It affects millions of people across the world, but yet so few people know anything about it. And even more so as a young person presenting to be well on the outside and being young as well, and having that double prejudice against you, I can only imagine how difficult that is. But credit to you for speaking up for yourself, and for any of the young people listening, encouraging them to do the same as well.
I had a counsellor once tell me that kidney disease isn't sexy. You know, it doesn't sound sexy. It's not like cancer where you can almost visibly see it. But kidney disease is obviously a hidden illness. So she goes, yeah, kidney disease isn't sexy. And it isn't. It's not as flashy or as glamorous as, you know, telling someone you have cancer and then they automatically have that sympathy for you. But whenever I tell someone I have kidney disease, they almost look at you like, well, you'll be fine. And the amount of times I have heard that I'll be cured when I get a transplant is insane.
Yes, there is that massive misconception that you get a kidney transplant and then, oh, you're fine. You waltz off into the sunset and everything's okay. But as we all know, transplantation is a treatment, not a cure. And that is the reality. You mentioned that you are active online. You do videos that are helping and educating people. And kudos to you, and may you continue with that work that you're doing. And so for anybody that wants to follow you online, what are your handles?
My handles for both Instagram and TikTok are The Kidney Chronicles.
Okay, folks, so please do support and follow Emma, and that's The Kidney Chronicles. Check her out on Instagram and TikTok. What is your final word of encouragement for the listeners?
Just keep going. We've all got this. We're all in the same boat. And there is a community out there, and we can all talk to one another. We all know what we're going through, and we all know how scary it can be and lonely. But there's plenty of us out here, and there's groups upon groups. And I'm always able to reply on social media as well. If anyone wants to reach out to me personally, I am more than happy to ever talk to if you have any fears regarding dialysis or kidney failure in general. I'm always here. I'm happy. I love building a little community. It just makes me so happy to see other people. You know, I just like seeing them get their spark back, because the girls that I've met have absolutely brought my spark back. I just feel so validated.
Thank you so much for joining me, for sharing your story. Thank you for the work that you do in educating your peers in terms of CKD. So let's say that handle again, The Kidney Chronicles. Please do support Emma in the work that she's doing. But thank you so much for joining me, for being so open and honest, and for the work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Diary of a Kidney Warrior podcast. And don't forget that you can contact me on social media using the handle Diary of a Kidney Warrior. Please do subscribe to the podcast, and please do tell a friend. New episodes of this podcast are released every other Monday. Until next time, take care and choose to live.
Diary of a Kidney Warrior, sharing faith, knowledge, hope, and love.